Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We seem to be a little widespread this morning, don't we? Welcome to our family worship this morning, and allow me to begin with an opening prayer. God, our comforter, with vivid dreams and bold visions, inspire us. We tend to love towards one another, renew us. With your spirit alive, with colour and breath, lead us to this place. Let's say together,
May we speak and act authentically with one another, that this community bears witness to the reconciling, generous spirit of Christ.
Amen. The first of our songs, One Thing Remains, God's love never fails.
Thank you.
down and I need some help. This is just a bit of a time to remember. Remember the last time we did a family tree? I'm going to put these down on the floor and see if you can work them out for them. So we can put them back. But first of all, I'll give you a hint. We'll start with Abraham and Sarah. Find those two. They got a bit of up on the way, so we'll put those up first. Oh, well done. Move Sarah right over closer, because there was somebody else in their story. Can you see anybody down here who was in their story? No, not Rebecca. Starts with an H. Right up next to them, along the other side. Now, Abraham and Sarah had some kids. They did, well, they had one, anyway. You got any idea who that might be? No, you're missing one. That's it. There's a bit of coaching going on the side. Isaac, while Ezekiel's putting Isaac up there, who did Isaac marry? He's not getting too many left now. Rebecca, who's... Do you want to put Rebecca up?
Rebecca to Rebecca. Come on, Rebecca.
Isaac and Rebecca had some kids.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was the eldest one.
Thanks. I've seen one, I think, too. No, wait, I know this kid's four, somewhere else.
Yeah. It was the second twin. Yeah, you remembered more than I thought. Now, Jacob has how many boys? Well, and one of those boys was called Joseph. Thank you. And the two that are left were not yet.
That's a Z.
Okay, our story today. Thank you. Our story today is about Joseph. So some of the things we're going to do today will tell us about Joseph and his exploits, the things that he got up to.
Thanks,
thanks a lot. I'll get you back to this.
As we come week by week to worship, I think that first of all, to look back on things as we've just done, looking back on some of the lessons that we've had, but also looking back on life. It's appropriate that we offer a time of just putting things right with God. So forgiving God, we admit that too often we speak or we seek human validation instead of the validation that is the most important, yours. Like the Apostle Peter, who doubted because he was frightened, that refers to the time when Peter was walking on water and he started to sink because he lost sight of the Lord Jesus, who was also outside of the boat and had called him across. And as Peter started to doubt, he started to sink. And at times we sink. And so sometimes we doubt your presence and your love for us. Let's say together.
We confess that we become seduced by the world's vows instead of giving in to your humble love for us. Amen.
And just as in that incident, Peter was assured by the presence of Jesus, so let's share with God the impossible. What impossible is made possible, even when our hearts are closed to God, even when we cannot see the Spirit's presence in our midst, still, God is here with us, ready to catch and comfort. What a gift indeed.
Amen.
Amen. We share now the next of our songs, The Heart of Worship. which in many ways sums up what we have come for. We have come to share worship today. Now, If you hunt through a depressant on, find a zero, because both teams are on zero. This is going to be a competition about dreams and visions. The first series are going to be dreams and visions from the Old Testament. And the challenge is going to be, and I've got two very eagle-eyed scorers here, they'll be able to pick out who puts their hand up first. Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Who was that? And at this side.
Abraham.
For a bonus point, can you name the book of the Bible where it was featured?
Can I do it? Genesis.
There we go. Okay, so their points now. This quote. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to the heaven, and the angels of God were descending, ascending and descending on it. Who did you pick, Linda?
Jacob.
For an extra bonus point, which book of the Bible? Yes, we'll give the full point even though it was said with a rather questioning. Was it Genesis? Yes, it was. Here's the next one. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. No one guessing it yet? Joseph and the book of the Bible? Nice and easy.
Genesis.
Someone get Genesis? There we go, Genesis 37. And there's 4 points and there's 2 points this side. He was standing by the Nile. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows sleeping fat, and they raised among the reeds up 7 other cows. And we're saying it's Joseph. Track, is it? They are saying Pharaoh. Would we let them have it?
Yes.
We're a loving one. Yes, Pharaoh. Oh, I didn't give you that. What book of the Bible is it?
We should get the book.
Here's another one. A large statue, an enormous dazzling statue. The head was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs. Any hints so far? Of bronze? Janet's trying. Janet?
Can he pick me?
Nebuchadnezzar. All right, what book of the Bible are we talking about?
Daniel.
Yes, King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, the next one. I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The centre of the fire looked like glowing metal. Any ideas so far?
We should get
Well, we'll keep that one in reserve. All right, let's read on a little. In appearance, their form was human, but each of them had 4 faces and 4 wings. Not Daniel.
Wrong.
Not Moses.
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. Bonus point up into there. Yes, Ezekiel, it was Ezekiel chapter 1. Let's try the next one. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its 4 faces. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like topaz and all 4 looked alike. Continue the passage. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. Ezekiel again. Ezekiel chapter 1. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. So this side. Oh, you seem to get the hard ones, don't you guys? Ezekiel again. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. Yeah? Ezekiel. And what book of the Bible do you think you'd find it in? Ezekiel. There it is. Ezekiel chapter 37. That's why you've got 2 months there. That's it. Okay. In the year of the Lord, I heard this person's name mentioned before. And this is back over here. Who's suggesting someone? Isaiah. And which book of the Bible do you think you're going to find in Isaiah? Well, for those that haven't picked it up, the end of the statement, with two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, two they were flying, and it's Isaiah 6. Next one. The word of the Lord came to me. We had to cross out the person's name. That would have been too easy. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied.
Jeremiah.
Try another one?
Jeremiah.
Take a vote. Will we go with Jonah or Jeremiah?
Jeremiah.
Yes. And which book of the Bible do you reckon it's going to be in?
Book of the same name.
Jeremiah.
The next one. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see that is boiling. I answered, it is tilting towards us from the north. Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, there we go. Then the Lord asked me, what do you see? Figs, I answered. The good ones are very good. The bad ones are so bad they cannot be eaten.
Jeremiah.
Anyone over the side, do you want a bonus point?
No.
You're all going Jeremiah. Yes.
If you've read my book called Come to Your Senses, you'll find it.
This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by the wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand, and the Lord asked me, what do you see? Amos. In which, if it was in Amos, which book of the Bible do you think you'd find it in? Amos. I was going to say, this person's name has exactly the same number of crosses that are on the screen there. I saw at night, and behold, a man was riding on a red horse, and he was standing among the myrtle trees, which were in the ravine, with red sorrel and white horses behind him. I don't think anyone's going to score points for this one.
Zechariah.
Number 16, I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold, and its bowl on the top of it, and its seven lamps on it, with seven spouts belonging to each of the lamps which were on the top of it. Zechariah again, you reckon?
No.
And in the book of? If it were, it is. Zechariah, 2 points. Let's have a couple of, this time it's a little bit more difficult. Zechariah, we're in the New Testament now, with dreams and visions. Zechariah, in Luke 1, chapter 11, and you're not allowed to pick up your pew Bibles.
Was that fine? Yeah.
What was the message for Zechariah?
Whose turn is it?
It's this turn.
Janet, rely on you.
No.
don't remind me. Yes,
wait a minute,
hang on. All right, I missed that.
Elizabeth's going to have a baby.
Elizabeth was going to have a baby.
That's not fair.
Never mind. It is fair. It's fair if I didn't put my hand up.
Elizabeth was going to have a baby, so you can add 1 point on.
You were allowed to
be just.
Joseph, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, what was the dream that Joseph had at that point of time? He had a couple of
minutes.
What was the first of his dreams in the New Testament?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Do you want to
do
that?
Could it possibly be that it's okay, Mary is a child by the Holy Spirit?
You're wrong.
Could it be? That's the one. The next one, the Magi, over this side. What was the dream that the Magi had? You might not know Magi, you might know wise people, you might know wise ones.
To go back the other way, because
yes,
King Herod was out to kill the baby.
Yep, don't go back to Herod. What was the dream that... That's what he had. It's frozen.
No, hang on, it's gone back.
Oh, it's... We did have some difficulty this morning. I've been reading that back screen. We're now back on. The back screen's now working again. Joseph had another dream. What was the second dream? We're back over this side.
Take Mary and go to Egypt.
Yes. Yep. Get out of Herod's way. And what was Pilate? Now, this goes a little bit further down the Old Testament journey. What was Pilate's wife's dream?
Phil? It had nothing to do with Jesus.
That deserves to.
It was at the time close to the crucifixion. She had a dream and told Pilate not to have anything to do. Okay, so that looks like the... Oh, there's one more, last one, final one. This will be the decider. We'll put 10 points on. We'll put 30 points on this one to make sure that it's very clear we're around this one.
You're already winning it.
And anyone.
You only get 1 point for this.
The big tablecloth. You're suggesting a tablecloth.
Well, you can go and talk
to Christian
Gentiles as well as the Jews, but it's just
group of them. Right, okay, that's
your
interpretation.
It's where the dream
where
God says to him, don't call what I call clean unclean.
Right.
Yeah, covered with all sorts of animals, every kind of animal, and the tablecloth descended from heaven on the roof of the house.
It was the sheet. Yes, it was the sheet, the tablecloth laid out, whatever God has called laid out, you should not. And that was, of course, a turning point in the relationship between the... Christians, the new converts to the following the way, and, of course, the following the traditions of different foods and fasting. I'm going to get run out of town. It's a draw. Yeah. 64 here and 81 there. We'll have a Bible reading.
This reading is from Genesis chapter 37. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them. Very well, he replied. So he said to him, Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me. Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him, throw him into one of these pits, and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, they said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness. Don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to their father. So, when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe that he was wearing, and they took him and they threw him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. His brothers agreed. So, when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the pit and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt.
Thank you, Janet, for that reading. Our next activity is something that I'm hoping that we can all join in and all build together. On your seat, or as you came in, you were given a piece of paper. Doesn't matter what your paper looks like. The idea is that these are all different bits of paper. When you're ready, you might come over here. We obviously don't need everybody coming at once, but we'll just have a few people, and you can come over while the hymns are being sung, to come over and help me make Joseph's coat. There's scissors over here, there's glue over here, cut any shape you like out of the paper, a couple of shapes, and paste them on over here. There's 5 lots of glue, and there's only 4 lots of scissors, so we'll have to share. That's why I said, while the hymns are on, you might even like to come over. At the moment now, it's time for prayer.
We are going to have a time of prayer while you're thinking about what you will do with those pieces of paper and such. And today's prayers, echoing some of the images out of the Bible reading that we shared, where there was sibling rivalry, there were favourite children, there were families dysfunctional. You would have to agree that family was quite dysfunctional. But we also live in a world that is dysfunctional. And it's a world that we need very much to pray for. And so today we'll gather our prayers together in basically 4 different headings. Praying for this community. Now, whether you look upon that as this worship community or the community of the Sunshine Coast, we need to pray for the world. Whether you think about leaders or whether you think about nations, when you think about the relationship between nations. We need to pray for ourselves as a community, as people of God. And we need to pray for the things that concern us. So as we are looking at those particular headings, we're going to offer prayers for our community, our world, ourselves, and our general concerns. So allow me to begin with just an opening prayer, and then I'll invite you to suggest what we should pray for at and within those particular groups. Loving God, we hold deeply the prayers of you that are on our hearts this day. These prayers weigh heavily on us. They long to be shared with you. So let's think about what are the prayers that we should offer for this community. For our community, what are some of the prayers that we should offer? Should we pray for?
Prayers for our new rector.
New rector. New leadership. New rector.
RI
in the schools.
Chaplaincy
in the schools.
Funding for the chaplaincy.
Funding for the chaplaincy to be able to continue.
Spending it. Whether that money will be spent.
Money raised for school chaplaincy will be spent on school
chaplaincy. The state government gets from the federal government.
Yep.
Funding our
Sound and wise governance from the council.
Sound and wise local government. Last week we had a gathering that celebrated 50 years of the formation of the Sunshine Coast as a community. What about members of our community that are overlooked? Should we be praying for them?
Homeless.
Homeless.
They're suffering domestic violence.
Domestic violence.
Disadvantaged youth. Unemployed.
Unemployed. Disadvantaged. Dysfunctional families. But what sorts of things should we pray for when we think of our world?
Peace.
Peace. What about the relationship at the present time between North Korea and, I'll say, and many other nations of the world?
Peace.
Praying for America.
Wisdom.
For wisdom. For peace.
For reason.
For reason.
Pray for.
What about respect?
Yeah.
Respect of one another.
Pray for the locals in the world to cause peace.
Missionaries, God's workers in the world. Who should we pray for, or how should we pray when we are praying for ourselves? That's a very personal issue, and maybe when we offer those prayers, we offer them from our own heart.
Thank you that the weather this winter is so mild, and that it helps those in our community who don't have the luxuries that we take for granted. We especially pray for the homeless, those who are displaced through domestic violence, through dysfunction in families, through whatever issue may cause them to be away from the shelter of a roof over their heads and perhaps even food in their stomachs. We also pray for those not just here but across our country who struggle each day just to function normally. Bring these people reassurance despite the circumstances they find themselves in. You are with them. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father, around the world we pray for the calm in those countries where war seems to be more of an everyday thing than peace. We think of the Middle East, we think of Africa, we think of other areas in the world where politics and money seem to be more important than the health and safety of their people. We pray for all those special Christians who step out in faith to take up your cross and minister to people in these troubled spots. Father, protect them all from harm as they do their work for you in these places. We also pray for the leaders of the world, all the leaders of the world, that they will judge with justice, they will rule with justice, compassion and fairness. At the same time, we pray for our own governments, whether they be federal, state, or in our local community here, that they will go about the business of running our country and our community with faith, honour and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we pray for ourselves and for each other. Brothers and sisters here, Holy Trinity, we ask for health and well-being, for courage and compassion to do your work here in our community. We pray for the RE in our schools around here. We ask that you continue to encourage those to step up and be a part of it. We pray for the chaplaincy that goes on in all schools around the Sunshine Coast, that it may continue, that it may be supported by government, and it may have the impact that it should have on those young people who are desperate sometimes just to talk to somebody. Father, we thank you for Bob and Christine and their ministry, for their passion, their guidance, for their love for us. We pray that you'll give them peace and opportunity to refresh and reinvigorate. As we pray towards our rector, our new rector being appointed, we ask that you continue to encourage them to do the wonderful job they have done so far and they will continue to do. We are so blessed to have both clergy and other brothers and sisters in this congregation who work your work every day, whether it be in their place of work, over a back fence, or when we come together in our home here at HTK. Father, we will, with your help, take up our cross, take up your cross, today and every day. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Father, we pray for and uphold those of us, those who are known to us, who aren't 100% at the moment. We pray for the things that we carry heavy on our hearts. Give them and us the touch of your healing hand on our shoulders. Thank you for those who take the time to care for us all when we're not feeling the best. We continue to uphold those in our hearts who need your special touch. As we head into spring in the next couple of weeks, Father, keep the sneezes and snuffles to a minimum and allow us to enjoy the warmth and the coming of a new season. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Father, through your Son, be with us. Through your Son, be before us. through your Son, be after us. Through your Son, be within us. Through your Son, be beneath us and be above us. Be to our right and to our left. Be in my home and in our home and on the road. Be in the heart of everyone who thinks of us. Be in the mouth of everyone who speaks with us. Be in the eye of everyone who sees us. Be in the ear of everyone who listens to us. Father God, we offer our prayers to you, trusting that, out of our deepest concern, you will weave a new pattern. You will turn our tattered, fragmented offerings into something whole and beautiful. Please join me in saying, we ask that you take these simple gifts all together, drawn together with great hope of the earth. That's right. We ask that you take these simple gifts drawn together with great hope and join them together into offerings of love.
The stories that we've been talking about, or the stories of Joseph, happened many, many years ago, thousands of years ago. But just to bring this into the modern context, we've got a couple of stories to tell you. The Genesis story of Joseph being sold to the Ishmaelite traders is probably the oldest account of human trafficking. 4,000 years ago, selling one's relative into slavery was not a common practice, but slavery itself was. Today, human trafficking is the modern-day slave trade on a global scale. It affects virtually every country in the world and enslaves an estimated 27 million people. Emily, would you like to come and tell us Rose's story, please?
At the age of 14, Rose left her family and the home in the Cameroon and travelled with a couple to their home in the USA, where they promised her a chance to have American schooling in exchange for some light housekeeping chores. Very soon, Rose was working more than 18 hours a day, being beaten when she was questioned the situation or made the slightest mistake. She was locked in the house, denied access to the phone or letter writing, paid nothing, and obviously never given the opportunity to go to school.
Thanks, Emily. It's not a very happy story at all. And Liam, would you like to come and tell us Raj's story, please?
Raj, at the age of 8, was kidnapped from his village home in India. He was taken hundreds of miles away to live and work in a shed, all day and every day, bending over a carpet loom in dim lighting, breathing wool dust, receiving no pay and minimal food. When Raj was found 5 years later, he was a stunted, confused and sick.
Thank you. Thank you to both of those people for reading the stories. Sadly, these are not stories from the 19th century. They're stories of the 21st century, of human trafficking and slavery, globalisation and its related processes has facilitated inhumane practices, bonded labour, debt-related slavery and other forms of forced labour and related trafficking have become a global industry. With growing awareness and anti-slavery organisations operating in an increasing number of communities around the world, there is hope that slavery can be ended in our time. However, our learning must be ongoing, shared with others, and led to actions that are pervasive and global as today's slavery and human trafficking. And I'd just like to remind you that we do support She Rescue, and I'm very proud to say that you have done really well in supporting She Rescue. There's other groups around that do the same thing, but thank you on behalf of those groups. Now our prayer. Generous God, you call us to many forms of response in your world, And so we give of ourselves in whatever way is possible through our talents, money, spiritual gifts, compassion, and vision for love's reign anew in the world. We ask that you will transform our prayers into opportunities for new life as together we strive to create a renewed vision for your world.
To our next song, and if there's room at the table, we invite you to add your little pieces to the coat that we are constructing over there. You will have another song a little bit later to be able to do just the same, but it's most appropriate. The next song that we have is How Great Is Our God.
Service of your kingdom.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. On the night before he died, Jesus gathered with his friends to share a meal and wash their feet, teaching one last lesson of love. He took bread, blessed it, and broke it. He gave it to them and said, Take this and eat it. This is my body. Then he took a cup of wine and blessed it. He gave it to them and said, Take this and drink it. This is my blood, sealing God's promise to forgive your sins. Whenever you do this, do it in memory of me. As we share these holy gifts, we remember the Lord Jesus for the love he taught us, the sacrifice he made for us, and the hope he gives us. Fill us with energy, courage, and love, and send us as your messengers to the world.
Come.
The gifts of God for the people of God, be known to us, Lord Jesus, in the grain of the bread.
Thank you.
But when we come to the second part of this slide, you will realise that we're saying basically the same words as we would be saying week by week. So go forth from this place, open to the brokenness in your midst. Go out ready to answer, I am here, God. I will not close my eyes or ignore the difficult truths that you long for me to see. Let's stay together.
As we go, may we know that the love of God surrounds us, the peace of Christ empowers us, and the fellowship of the Spirit moves within us and all of creation, now and always. Amen.
So we've done the job.
Something on it for to stand with it.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. If it, that means everybody comes and stands, everybody comes and stands. Does that mean all of those that are sitting down the street are here? And our final song for this morning is Relentless.